He is risen, and indeed, he is risen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody, from Scandy Bible Church 2013. And we want to welcome you to our Sunrise Service sermon this morning as our church gathers for this special time at the lovely waterside home of Elder Keith Barker. Our Sunrise Service message this morning being delivered once again by Mr. Lou Bond, a member of our church body. He's a leader, coach, father to many, and a brother in Christ.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Nothing greater could be spoken or said or realized. Good morning, brothers, sisters, children. Brother Barker, thank you once again for your wonderful hospitality in our Lord Jesus Christ's glorious name. It is very good to gather together on this sunrise service on Resurrection Sunday, celebrating in our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who now sits at the Father's hand, who intercedes on our and other believers around the world behalf for his glory alone. Today, I've decided that I'm going to do more of a traditional reading. I'm going to stick mostly in Luke, but we will roam around the scriptures. But we're going to be in Luke 24 primarily, if you want to turn to there. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we indeed can say, hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ has risen from the dead. Lord, what a glorious truth. Death's sting no longer applies, Lord. Sin has been conquered. You have saved your elect, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we read today, as we hear your word today, that our hearts and our minds are stirred, a quickening to you, Lord. If there may be anyone here today, Lord, that has not fully realized your truth, Lord, I pray that you would stir their heart specifically today. Lord, that they might come to an understanding of the wonderful truths throughout your entire word. Lord, that you came to save and you rose again and sit now interceding on our behalf. What glorious truths, Lord. Pray all these things in our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So if you'll turn with me to Luke 24 while I get my glasses out. I was reading last night and my glasses need a little bit of shining, and I remember our sister Brenda helping me one day cleaning my glasses, and I just I was warmed by that because it's a new thing, these glasses. I know it's been about 2 years, but I just thought about that, and it was just it was a warmth to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, right, sharing in one another's burdens and trials and needs, and that was just wonderful. Verse 1, chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they had found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they turned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I think central to our belief and understanding and the gospel is that that tomb was empty. And it's recorded in all four gospels. I also found it really interesting that like then, as it seems to be today, that our women, our mothers, our wives, that they're up early preparing for those who they love. And I found that really interesting because I know that's the case when I was growing up with my grandmother and my mother, and I know it's the case with my wife today, and I just see that around us, that the women are up preparing for those who they love. I also found it interesting and had to reread that, which we found in Luke 18, that 18 verses 31 through 34, that they did not understand all that Jesus had been teaching them while they had him and they were his disciples walking with him, being taught by him. Yet they had not remembered these things until it was brought to their attention. And it's interesting because in our own experience, we might be talking to bosses, co-workers, friends, family members, neighbors, and sometimes it just seems like Greek to them, right? And it doesn't make sense to us that we were, you know, espousing all these wonderful things, yet it's on deaf ears or lack of understanding. And was it not so for each of us before we had our hearts and minds really turned to him? I would say that in our preaching the good news, as we share the good news, we need to, you know, boldly do that. We're told to do that. But at the same time, I think we also need to be preparing our hearts and praying that the Lord would do his work with those that we're taught to be sharing this good news with. Jesus did foretell about his persecution, about his being crucified, and his rising up on the third day. Without a risen Christ, if he did not rise, all that we believe would really be of no matter. Right, we would not be risen. We would not be celebrating a risen Christ, one who had conquered sin and death. We would not really have a hope secure. So it is central to our belief that he has arose, and it was central to all that was described early through Moses and the prophets. And in the New Testament, that we have these gospel accounts of all the people. And it was interesting. I had never really done this kind of little study, but I had read a lot. And all that I had read, listen to some of these verses. Of all the infallible proofs of Christ being here for 40 days, in Mark 16, 9, and John 20, 11 through 18, to Mary Magdalene, in Matthew 28, 8 through 10, to the other women. In Luke 24, 34, to Peter. In Luke 24, 36 to 43. And John 20, 19 through 25, to the 10 disciples. Mark 16, 14. And John 20, 26 through 29, to the 11, including Thomas. Mark 16, 12, and 13, and Luke 24, 13 through 35 to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Matthew 28, 16 and 20, and John 21, 1 through 24 in Galilee, in 1 Corinthians 15, 6 to the 500 people, in 1 Corinthians 15, 7 to James and the apostles, in Acts, recorded in 15:7 and 19:1 through 6, 22:1 through 10, 26:12 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 15:8 to Paul, and in Mark 16:19 and 20, Luke 24:50 through 53, and Acts 1:4 through 12, at Jesus' ascension into heaven, we have got a lot of accounts of a risen Christ who also ascended to the right hand of the Lord. In a seat of power and authority, interceding for you and I. We certainly, even though we're here today, we would be dead. Even if we were here now without a risen Lord, we would be dead. Drowned men. So I think that's why the joy is so overwhelming in people singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. We serve a risen Lord. I thought it was extraordinary that, and it's not because, you know, I just lost my dad not too long ago, and I know each of you have experienced a death of a loved one have experienced that yourselves, and you know, his disciples were sad, and they were deeply in fear and saddened about the loss of who they thought was their Messiah, because they didn't really fully understand all those things that had been taught and all the things of the Scriptures. And what a blessing that the Lord didn't leave them hanging like that. Right? He actually came and opened up the Scriptures to all of those so that they could preach the good news. We have that word. We have His word. We also have His Spirit within us. It was no accident that these things happened. They were foretold. The Scripture had to be fulfilled to reveal the purposes of God. It also validates that Jesus is saying every part of Scripture bears witness to Him and what God has done for us, for His elect, for His purpose, for His glory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He rose again that third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen." And then it goes on to list all the witnesses and testimonies of Him being seen. Turn just over to chapter 15, verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die," right? That's our race. "Even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Is that a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalm 16. A Miktam of David. Mine is titled The Hope of the Faithful and the Messiah's Victory. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom all is all my delight. Their sorrow shall multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portions of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me the counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. It doesn't get any clearer. Christ conquers death. He is alive. It's also quoted in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, 14 through 39. I had notepads in each one of my places, so excuse me. This is Peter's sermon. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice, and he said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, it shall come to pass, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves are known, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and in his tomb with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which now you see and hear. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, how assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Amen? That's us. Right? Those promises pertain to us as well. Anyone that might be here that does not yet know the Lord in this intimate way, I encourage you to repent and believe. We have lots of proof here. Little ones, some of you may not yet have come to an understanding of the Lord as your personal Savior. I encourage you to, if these things stir your heart, prick your heart, speak to your mom or dad. They'd love to share this good news. Speak to your elders, Keith, Monty. We have other aunties and uncles here and grandparents here. Speak to them. Pour out your heart. There may not be a tomorrow. So do not put these things off if your heart is being pricked. Please turn back to me to Luke 24. I always have a deep appreciation after having to prepare as little as I prepare compared to Monty and Keith, and then how they're able to go back and forth within the scripture effortlessly to keep that train of thought moving. The Lord has blessed us with good teaching. Thank you, gentlemen. Verses 46 through 53. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name and to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I want to say, for each of us, believers, we get caught up in the mundane of life. We are distracted by the mundane of life. Are you celebrating today? Are we celebrating our risen Lord? This is not just for this day for remembrance. This is for all days. Let this sunrise service, this Resurrection Sunday, be an encouragement to all of us to live our moments, our days, in that constant joy. I know it's a challenge. I'm reading all this and I was writing all these things. And I said, oh my gosh. You're actually going to go up and present this. We're meant to present this. This is a truth. Do not let the evil one continue to deceive you in any other way. There is nothing else that matters. You can have all the wealth in the world. You can have all the kids in the world you want. You can have all the riches of this world, and it will not matter one whit if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and Him saved, right? Him crucified. him risen. So Louis Bond, right? That's to each and every one of us. We must preach repentance and remission of sin. They weren't sad any longer, right? 40 days earlier, 43 days earlier, they were in fear, they were crying, they were hiding. They were so depressed and saddened. No longer. They were in joy, a true celebration. In victory, they were shouting the hallelujahs. They were praising our Lord Jesus Christ and all that God the Father had orchestrated from the beginning of time. All now, right now. And they went in and worshiped and shared this good news. It was contagious. Many of us have been plagued in the last 6 months of sicknesses and all sorts of kinds of colds and flus and all whatever you want to call it. They were infected with the Holy Spirit. They had a contagious, infectious love for the brethren and sharing to those who were lost this good news. May the Lord do that for us as well, to encourage us, to strengthen us. He's given us that to be able to do. Go boldly. You know the Great Commission in Matthew 28. If you just turn with me real quick to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Yeah, we've been given a duty, right? That duty is on us as well as believers, as followers. Older brothers and sisters here. You have younger brothers and sisters. And I know that it's they torment you sometimes. And I know that that's an aggravation sometimes. And the older ones, I know that it feels like a burden having to be a second mom or, responsible for the younger ones. I'm here to tell you, what a joy to be able to share what the Lord has done for you in your lives. I say change your attitude to reflect the heart condition that the Lord has put in you. Today, you're an older brother and sister in a home working alongside your mother and father. What a joy. What a joy to be able to share the good news to your younger brothers and sisters. We're a small congregation. We have lots of aunts and uncles and grandparents here. Right? We're grandparents and aunts and uncles to all the Lord has given us. What an opportunity to connect and share the good news that the Lord has given you to our brothers and sisters, to our children that don't know yet. Let me encourage you in that way. I know on Sunday we get together in fellowship, and it is a fellowship of sorts, right? The men kind of sit over there in one table, and the kids are over in another table, and then outside, and the women have a couple of tables going, because their, I guess, conversation is much more enjoyable than the men's. Let's turn our hearts. Let's be an encouragement. Let's not separate ourselves. I know I've got a couple of older kids who like to separate themselves. The Lord has you in this place and in this time, not to be idle. Here's what was really interesting to me on this part. I get caught up in the side chatter. Anyways, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. So when he came as a baby, Emmanuel, God with us, he's still with us. God is still with us. He was born of a virgin, lived a life without sin. He did the Father's will, even unto death, to fulfill that which was orchestrated from the dawn of time. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:23. And then we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 2:2. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is central to the gospel. It's central to the good news. Christ was crucified. He was buried. He has risen. He is our perfect, compassionate high priest and a permanent and perfect sacrifice for all His elect, who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with 1 Peter 1, 3-21. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Who prophesied of the grace that would come to you? Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering these things, which now have been reported to you, though those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. We serve a risen Savior. As we sang earlier today, as we've read today. Let's go into a closing prayer. I hope you were encouraged today. I know I was in reading all of this. There is a lot of scripture here to read. Children, if you didn't get a chance earlier this week, I really recommend in your extra spare time, go and search the scriptures. It's abundantly clear. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You in thanksgiving and in joy. We thank You, Lord, for this grace, the gift of understanding. Lord, our minds, our hearts being turned to You. Lord, we're in awe of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, of Your orchestrated plan to save those. Lord, that You humbled Yourself, You came as a baby, You put on humanity, Lord. Lord, as we fell with Adam and all of Adam's race, Lord, through one man, You, Jesus Christ, that all who believe, repent, may be saved, Lord, those that You call. Heavenly Father, we know You as our great shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would give us each the gift of understanding, that our hearts would be matured to you, softened to your love, that we may also in turn love one another. Lord, give us boldness to preach, to share your good news. Lord, there is nothing to fear. Sin and death has been conquered by our risen Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in all these things, for your glory and your glory alone. Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap up this special bonus sermon. We hope you enjoyed our Easter Sunrise Service message. You can find out more about us and listen to past sermons at ScandiaBibleChurch.org. If you like what you hear, well, tell a friend. And of course, we want to invite you to join us via podcast for our Easter service from the Scandia Bible Church pulpit, which will be delivered a little later on today by Elder Monty Seemal. You'll find it just above this one on the website. So until next time, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.